There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable MCP players to see if they could give something more to the community. The Christmas Present Initiative. Over the holidays, we'll be providing what we are calling the 18 Days of Christmas. We will bring on a different guest every single episode to talk about a different affiliation. And we're going to start off this one with Jacob interviewing Pat Dunford.
Hello and welcome to another of our Christmas roster episodes. And I'm delighted to be joined by Pat Dunford. How are you doing, Pat?
Hey, Jacob. I'm doing great. Thank you very much for inviting me onto the show.
Well, if we're going to ask anyone, it's got to be you. I mean, we're looking to build competitive-minded rosters, and you were just your master of so many different affiliations. So tell us which one we've asked you to bring today.
So I'm very much looking forward to talking about Criminal Syndicate on this episode, which is an affiliation I've always enjoyed and I've been tinkering with a lot more recently.
Why is that? What's drawing you to them?
So I think it's widely agreed that Criminal Syndicate have got off very well from the changes to the game. They were a team who was more focused on survival than damage, so the banned and restricted changes, removing all you've got and restricting bitter rivals, tends to be in their favour. And they are very good on quite a lot of crises, and I think that works quite well in the new way of picking secures and extracts.
Okay, so just to hit it up first, what do you think the general game plan for Criminal Syndicate is? How do they go about winning a game?
So generally speaking, they, more than most affiliations, are building around their leadership. It doesn't have to be that way, and I think as we discuss more, I'll suggest some alternatives, but it's all about Kingpin's leadership, right? The fact that he lets healthy characters count as two for contesting secures, and he lets you pass extracts between characters. This is what makes them so good on so many crises and really informs their roster building.
Okay. So I guess let's go towards crises then. I think that's the place to start for Criminal Syndicate. What do you think are the standout crises for them?
So because they count double for secures, they are really good on any secure where there's lots of points to stand on. The more points, the better. And they don't get that benefit on secures that you pay to control. So I would not be looking at things like Deadly Meteors, Spider Portals, Mutant Madmen. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think they have a lot of really great choices for high value secures. My favorites are Gamma Wave, a classic and the most highest scoring crisis in the game, letting you score 6 points a round potentially. I'm also a big fan of Infinity Formula because they like the power and there's 4 points available. And we have the newly released Sinister Syndicate, which is our first FMAP secure, which makes 5 points available. So Sinister Syndicate and Gamma are your highest scoring ones. And Infinity Formula is then one of the four victory point ones that I like. Although you could go for others, and a lot of criminal players like Mare Fisk or Terrigen Clouds, which also score four. And I think those are perfectly good alternatives to Infinity Formula.
Why do you think, why have you lent away from those two wide secure crises?
So everyone knows that Criminal Syndicate are good at being tough and standing on points, right? And this is mainly because they've got so many characters that do this. And in particular, Kingpin, who you're taking in every game, is slow and tough and good at standing. I personally favour Criminal Syndicate lists that don't have to move around so much because their core characters are not very fast. And so I like Syndicate, which has an extra point in the middle, and Gamma Wave, where everything is in a straight line, because you can play to your strengths of static or points without having to worry about your lack of mobility, which can sometimes cause problems. And things like Terrigen Clouds and Mare Fisk, it's pretty easy for you to score one or both of the points every round. But if your opponent overloads one side and starts to kill your characters, it's very hard to reposition all the way to the other flank.
Yeah, that's a good point. When I play into Syndicate on those crises, I tend to go, well, I'm just going to ignore one. And maybe I'll deploy a fast character and feint as if I'm going for that one side, but then I'll go heavy onto the other side.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I can totally see why you've gone that way. What about flipping it around to extracts then?
So I think Extracts, you can go a lot of different ways. But there's a few extracts that particularly play into Kingpin's leadership. And so those are the ones I've gone for because I think they're the most unique and cool that you won't see necessarily in every roster. The first of those is Research Station. Maybe not that cool, maybe not that unique. I've been playing it a lot in Avengers. But it's superb because it lets you count that same effect for Kingpin's leadership where your characters count double and you can just put tough characters in the middle of the table and score lots of points.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you've got the crazier ones. I like Deadly Legacy Virus for criminals because with Kingpin's second part of his leadership, you can pass those viruses around and that makes it quite easy to put viruses on characters who are resilient or far away and eventually build towards getting them all on one character, if you can engineer that, to get the 8 victory points you need to win the game. You don't necessarily plan to get all 3, but the threat is always there. It makes it hard for your opponent to play around. They kind of have to be super cagey with anyone they have a cure on. And I just think it favors them a lot more than most teams.
Yeah, when you factor in Black Cat in affiliation, I think that's yes. A big part of the game plan there, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then if you really like this crisis, there's other things you can do in your roster building beyond Black Cat to push even further in that direction with characters and tactics cards.
Yeah.
The last one that I enjoy for them, and this is the craziest of the three, is Wakandan Herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Mystic Wakandan Herbs is renowned for being the slowest, most dead of extracts. But with Criminal Syndicate, that's not the case. And I have lost games incredibly quickly at the hands of skills criminals who have managed to use the leadership on turn 2 to daisy chain the herb all the way back from the point where it was picked up to their own vessel on turn 2.
Yeah.
This is actually pretty doable in a lot of different situations, especially if you have a good number of characters across the table.
Sounds like they really stole the game there.
Yeah, they did. I was pretty sad about the whole situation. And let me tell you, it doesn't need to be something that happens early in the game, but Wakandan Herb scores you 4 victory points. And if you can just get it even once, it's a huge leg up, especially as this is a team that's already doing so well on the secures.
Yeah. Yeah, I think generally if you score the Herb once more than your opponent, you probably win that game.
Yes. And because of the fact that you can do it with so many characters, there's a lot more counterplay that criminals have to keeping it on the vessel than might otherwise be the case. Being able to change hands is really powerful.
Yeah. Interesting, though, you haven't gone for any of the sort of the super fast crises to go, well, if they've got relatively fast secures, then I'll just choose extracts and pick, I don't know, cubes or something. Gives me some power, which my team wants, and gives me lots of VPs on the table to end the game early.
Yeah, I think you absolutely could go that way. I think, though, that with the fast extracts of cubes and spiders, cubes being the better one for the criminals, it has more mm-hmm. synergy with Kingpin and Crossbones.
Yep.
The problem is, because you're so much better on secures, generally speaking, most of the time, in my experience, if I'm in priority, I'm picking secures, which means I'm getting my extracts when I lose priority. And I don't want my losing priority extracts to be FMACs that my opponent can potentially activate first and go 3-2 up on me.
Yep, I can see your logic there. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's particularly innovative, but I do think it's dangerous. And one of the cool things about Wakandan Herbs and Research Station in particular is those are extracts that don't really advantage the player with priority at all. In fact, yeah. Research Station is a disadvantage there.
Yes.
So, that means that if my opponent has priority, they force me onto those extracts, I feel absolutely fine. And if I get priority, I'm playing my secures and I feel absolutely fine.
Mm. I just want to explore something you said there a little bit more. You said that normally you're picking secures with Criminal Syndicate. Do you foresee that in the new random crisis world, you look at someone's secures and go, well, I'm fine with any of them and I'll choose extracts?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible, especially because their extracts are so unusual and a lot of people won't like them. I think one of the things that makes Criminal Syndicate so appealing in this new world is they actually just have 6 crises they're uniquely good at, which almost no other affiliation can boast, right? A Criminal Syndicate are arguably, maybe not not necessarily, but arguably the best team at the game at all six of the crises they've selected in this roster. I don't think anyone can say that they're arguably the best at all six of their crises in basically any other roster.
Yeah, certainly they're in the conversation. I think you can make valid arguments for other affiliates.
Exactly, and you could say, hey, maybe Wakanda are better at Gamma Wave or whatever, but even so, you're going to be able to play it, right? Your worst case scenario is because you're good at everything, you're going to have one crisis you're very happy with and one that maybe is not perfect for you. And that's fine.
Interesting. So it seems you're going heavily into single affiliation here. Did it occur to you to go dual affiliation with them?
Yeah, I think you absolutely can. But because I like all of their crises so much, I think this particular roster, I just wanted to do single affiliation. If I do think, though, that there's so much overlap with character choices between criminals, spider foes, and Cabal, that you absolutely could throw one of those other affiliations into the mix if you wanted a different leadership option and maybe one tactics card. But honestly, I'm just excited to play criminals and I wanted to keep it simple.
That's fair. I mean, we've talked on the show before about maybe cutting Criminal Syndicate with something like Spider Foes, who've got some interesting extract plays they can run. Yes. So I think it's worth just noting that, although you haven't gone down that route. So let's dig in a bit more to the roster. So Kingpin's up there. Who do you see as your core then? Is there just two characters who are like, I'm taking these two every time? Or is there a squad rotation of like three to four characters that you're like, well, I'm going to choose some of these sometimes and some of these others?
Yeah, there's definitely a rotation. Kingpin obviously is always there. He's my only leader. And he's critical to every single crisis I've selected. Then what I've basically selected is all of the cheap affiliated characters who are role players. So I have five other affiliated characters after Kingpin, six in total. I've got Bullseye, who is the two-threat criminal. Mm-hmm. I think I would include him just if that was the only thing his card said, right? Kingpin's leadership benefits you so much for having more bodies on the table to pass around extracts and to stand on secures. It almost doesn't matter what your affiliated two-threat does. He's going in the list. And Bullseye is a perfectly good character. He's pretty good now after the changes.
Yep.
And then the three threat role players that I particularly like in criminals in no particular order. We've got Black Cat, who is fast and good at stealing extracts. We've got Crossbones, who's tough and good at standing on secures. We've got Hood, who adds a bit of damage output and some healing to the team. And we've got Mysterio, who is tough and has some control options. And I favor these as my preferred affiliated characters. And this is the core that I will then add unaffiliated choices to, plus a couple of other affiliated role players at higher threat values.
Okay. Interesting. So you've gone very much for the low threat. You didn't consider any of the higher threat characters in affiliation.
So basically, once you get past this core, you can go a couple of different ways. And I've actually got two options here to present to you, Jacob, right? For your consideration and for the consideration of your listeners. I think you can go the classic criminal stand on points team, which has been spoken about a lot and is very good. But frankly, it's a little bit obvious and a little bit boring to build because it is just you get your tough characters, you stand on the points, you hope to win that way. And you're taking this core, you're giving preference to Crossbones as your preferred three threat of choice. And maybe Mysterio, although he's a little slow, maybe Black Cat, whatever. And then you're adding unaffiliated characters that are great at that role. Lizard is superb choice in this role. You can take characters with control like Enchantress, who can double move to stand on a point and also move somebody off. And the newly previewed Juggernaut is very high threat value, right, for five threat, but he is like the master of this job, where he's incredibly hard to kill, incredibly hard to displace, and is just great at standing on points and scoring things for you. So I think you can make this kind of criminals team, and those are the kinds of characters you'd be adding to the core.
So at the time of recording this, we don't know if Juggernaut is affiliated. It's kind of been hinted at in a sort of like, oh, is he kind of way by AMG. So it's possible that he might be affiliated as well. Does that change your opinion of him, or is he?
I think because he's five threat, I wouldn't consider him a must have unless you're going down this path. And if you're going down this path, I'd include him either way, I think. I think there's an argument, though, that honestly, it might just be better to have two characters than Juggernaut for your game plan. Right?
I totally see that. Although there is also an element of Law of Diminishing Marginal Returns that maybe seven characters over six, maybe that's not the game that you're hoping for.
Yes, and one thing I'd say in defense of Juggernaut is, although in theory you could have two characters down to your 2 points, and you could have like an extra two, like a Black Widow or something, who could go and stand on an Infinity Formula or Round One, Juggernaut is really good at all of the extracts that this team is running. He's really good at carrying the herb, right? He gives you like a second herb play where you don't necessarily have to move it between your characters. You could just have Juggernaut go and move it from one side of the table to the other.
And he loves bonus dice as well. He's all physical in his attacks, so he likes
exactly that. Exactly. And he doesn't care if he only has one move action, right? Because that's exactly what he wants. and he can still rocket a huge distance forwards. So he loves Wakandan herbs. He's very good for holding the legacy viruses. Although I would probably at some point move them off him. He's very safe place to store them, shall we say. And he's really good at just taking up space in research station. And having big bases that can't be moved off research station is a good way to make sure you get it. And I'd rather have him sitting in the middle being shot at than two cheaper characters who then might actually just get dazed.
Yep, that makes sense.
So I think that's one way you could go with criminals. And that plan is really solid, but can honestly be a little bit boring. And the big problem you have with this kind of team plan is what you spend most of your time doing is double moving your characters and maybe displacing enemies. And you hope that's good enough. You don't roll dice. But the problem there is if you're losing, you don't really have much way to get back into the game. And dice still matter because what happens is your opponent attacks you, right? You're standing in their face, not doing that much to them. They're just going to roll dice at you. And if their dice are hot, that's when criminals can really have trouble. And like you said before, a good way to deal with criminals is to focus your damage, focus your team on one part of the table, overwhelm them, and start to remove Kingpin's leadership effect, which only works on healthy characters.
Mm.
So I like this team and I think it works well, but I think it's at its best when you're facing enemy teams who are not very damage focused.
Yep.
And I don't think it's free from dice like you might look at on paper, because your opponent's dice into you still matter. You just care about your defense dice. And that's still an element of randomness that you can't control particularly well. So.
Yeah, well, let's just round that out. So you've given me a core of six characters and then three flex. That leaves you with one extra character. Who's your final pick if that's the route you're going
down? If that's your route, I think your final pick is a second two of your choice. I think the leading twos to choose from, you've got Toad, who is great with your extracts. Well, he's great with Deadly Legacy Virus and Wakandan Herb, and he's good at extracts in general. You've got Okoye, because she's tough and shows she's that stand in your opponent's face and survive plan. And you've got Black Widow, who's a little bit less tough than Okoye, but she is still a martial artist. And importantly, she has a long move. So she is really good at running to your opponent's side of the table on turn one and contesting their objectives. And bear in mind, if they have one person on their Infinity Formula, for example, or their Extremis console, Widow could double move, stand on it, and you swing that point from them to you. If they've got two, Widow still stops them scoring it. So she can help you get a massive points lead early on. But she has the downside that she will probably die pretty fast as a result.
But maybe you go, yeah, that's worth it. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, yeah,
that
I mean, sense. And obviously you can play Acadia, right? You don't have to commit on turn one. You can pick at some point, you could use her speed to swing points in your favor, which is very good. And these are the things you may be choosing instead of Juggernaut when you're actually using this roster on the table. Do you want like Lizard and Widow to go and stand on 2 points, or do you want Juggernaut to stand on 1 point but survive?
Yeah. Okay, so you said you've got another one to offer then. So if that's my less interesting, I'm really excited to hear what your spicier, more interesting Criminal Syndicate roster is.
Yeah, so my spicier one is the problem with this kind of tried and true criminal team that people have talked about a lot in the past is it's a little bit, like I said, it's a little bit outside of your control if you fall behind. And it's not very action focused. It's not very proactive. And I think you can do another very good option with recent criminal releases, which is a bit overlooked, because it's less building around Kingpin's leadership, although you absolutely still can play it on all of these crises. And that is a damage-focused criminal syndicate team. Because criminals actually aren't bad at damage. What they are bad at is mobility, right? Like Kingpin has good damage for his cost. He's got a very efficient throw. He's got a very efficient spender. Crossbones has fine damage for his cost. Mysterio has solid output for his cost. They all have really good survivability, but the mobility is awful. Yep. Bullseye, a new 2-threat, has really good damage for his cost. Hood, a new 3-threat, has really good damage for his cost, right? Hood and Mysterio both have tactics cards that are really good for doing damage across your team. And you can combine all this together in the central focus crises that might be too risky for the more traditional criminal teams. So this kind of team is really good at Research Station and Gamma Wave, where you're getting all the advantage of scoring the point easily, but you're combining that with the team that wants to be in the middle fighting. So that team is taking the same core of characters I mentioned, and I just name-dropped most of them, aside from Black Cat. But it's adding other damage dealers, and these can be affiliated, right? You have Killmonger with Usurp the Throne is a criminal, and you have MODOK. And these characters are awesome in criminals in these central focused fighting crises.
So do you see maybe a slight change in your crisis setup then? So you've got a few central crises, but then maybe do you see bringing in, I don't know, demons downtown, going that way, if that's the way you're taking the roster?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you could do one of two things. I think you could switch one or two crisis. I don't think Demons Downtown is exactly what I would go for, but I think maybe Seals Collapse,
yep.
The one in
Intrusions,
Intrusions in Ancient One's box, I think, is one that you could consider. I also think you can play exactly the crisis I already mentioned, and you can split the difference in your character selection.
Yep.
And you could have your core of six characters. Cheap criminal characters that are good at both, a couple of tough characters and a couple of fighty characters. Mm. And I think that gives you plenty of choices because almost every premier like bad guy damage dealer is in criminals, right? Hood, Killmonger, MODOK are three of the better ones. The unaffiliated ones that I would look at outside of that, I would strongly consider Baron Zemo. Yep. He has nice speed for using your leadership when you need it. And he, as well as being a great damage dealer and tough at close range with his rerolls, he also is helping your whole team on those crises where they're all together. And then you could also throw in any other damage dealers that you fancy. But I don't think there's any others that are strictly necessary. It's more like season to taste after that.
Gotcha. So you kind of hinted at tactics cards earlier. Mm-hmm. So there were three affiliated tactics cards. Which one is the standout tactics card for you?
So I think all three affiliated cards are fine. Fine. I don't think any of them are ones that I would plan to play in every game. I don't think any of them are standouts. I would be willing to include all of them in my 10, but I think they are maybe at best the fourth or fifth most important card of your five, depending on the crisis and the team selection.
I mean, I can see Cruelty maybe if you're going for the damage-focused Criminal Syndicate, maybe that's the one that you are always bringing. I can see that being a line if that's the build you're going for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cruelty is one of the better ones. But the problem with Cruelty is it has a little bit of dissynergy with some of the better damage-dealing criminals. Because it can't benefit from extra dice or from rerolls. So it's especially bad with the Killmonger. I mean, you'll use it if you have to, but he doesn't get his extra dice on it. He doesn't get his kill count rerolls on it. He can't use his change dice to shields. Actually, maybe he can. I forget how that one's worded. He certainly doesn't get the other two. MODOK can't reroll his dice using his superpower with Cruelty. And Hood's gang doesn't work with Cruelty. So it's still fine, but this is why it kind of goes down the list, because in that damage focused team, it doesn't really synergize with your damage dealers as well as you might expect.
While that's true, I still think a free attack is a very good tactics card.
Yes, I agree. And it's also worth noting that even though it's criminal affiliated, any character could use it.
Yeah.
So I think it's well worth taking, but this is why I don't think like it's a slam dunk even in that. Yeah. I think you would strongly consider it, and I would often take it, but it's not the first thing I would pick for that team.
That makes sense. Yeah. All according to plan. Have you got a plan for all according to plan?
Yeah, so I think this is the stronger one for the damage dealing team, because this lets you steal priority. And your damage dealing criminal team is quite good at generating power because they attack people with lots of builders. Right, and all according to plan is really good in combination with Killmonger to facilitate a usurp the throne at a key time. And just with your attrition plan in general, being able to wipe the floor with the enemy team and then retain priority and turn dazes into KOs is very, very strong.
Mm-hmm. And then Shadow Organization, how do you see using that?
So I think Shadow Organization is much more of a tech choice for specific matchups because it's hard to use early in the game. You tend not to have the power generation. And there aren't very many criminal characters that have long range. So later in the game, the characters that might want to use it are often too close to really benefit. So it needs to be in situations where you're using more range characters against opponents who are ranged and the crisis is facilitating that. So in the crises that I've selected, I see that happening on something like Sinister Syndicate, which could often turn into a shootout across the 5 points, and possibly on Infinity Formula, which can the same thing can happen. But I'd only be picking it on those crises and also if I thought my opponent was going to take a lot of range characters.
And that sounds like almost a definition of an 11th card to me.
Yeah, it can definitely get cut. I think it's noteworthy that it's worth consideration, but I would not blame you at all for cutting it.
Okay. Let's hit on the restricted cards then. What do you like for restricted cards?
So the restricted cards are tough. I think all five of the restricted cards are good for criminals. And I wouldn't fault you for taking any combination of them. You've got Medpack, Brace and Patch Up, which are all ways of preventing damage. Of those, I favour Medpack with criminals, because it's cheaper than patch up, and characters like Kingpin and Crossbones, who would want to be medpacked, have trouble getting the power to really patch each other up.
That, right? You'll often find you're spread out as well, so patch up has to be another character doing it to you, whereas you can medpack yourself.
Yeah, you want that. You want your characters to be self-sufficient, right? And just be like, okay, I've got two power, I heal for three, that's fine, I'll just keep on going, keep staying alive. And three healing is enough to keep your character on the healthy side for a long time, to keep the leadership relevant. Patch up would also be a fine choice, though. Brace for impact, I think, is a good card. I think it is not strictly necessary in criminals because so many of your characters are so good at dodging that I think Medpack is better. But once again, I would not fault you for taking Brace or Patch Up as like a second version of Medpack if you just want to maximize your survivability.
Yep.
Field dressing is another way to help your survivability. You have some characters that can use it kind of okay in Hood and MODOK, but actually the team is not well set up to leverage field dressing. And I think it's a fine choice, but it's hard. This is not one of the best rosters to have characters close together with four power to reliably field dressing each other. So you could take it, but it's not at its best, even though it's really good with the criminal game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Bitter Rivals. Hey, Bitter Rivals is really good when you want to have a damage-focused team on Central Crises and you want to just play that game plan like everyone else, but also, by the way, be winning on Scenario while you do it. And I think Bitter Rivals and Medpack is my preferred to be in our cards for this roster for that reason.
And is that irrespective of whether you're going for the damage-focused or the kind of the more traditional game plan?
So I think if the crisis is very spread out, you don't take Bitter Rivals. But there's so many other good cards for criminals to consider that that's absolutely fine. I wouldn't take it every time, but I would be happy to essentially always play Medpack and then play Bitter Rivals when it's suited me.
Gotcha. Well, let's dig into some of those other cards then. What do you see as being the most important cards to take, the unaffiliated ones?
So I think there's a few that are really must-haves. Mission Objective is a must-have because it's incredibly good on Wakandan Herbs and Legacy Virus, which are two of the crises we're taking.
Yep.
And I'm basically always going to play that card when I'm playing Legacy Virus, and I'll probably play it on Wakandan Herbs as well.
Yep.
I probably wouldn't play it on most other extracts, but you never know. Maybe you could talk me into it if my opponent drops Skrulls or Alien Ship or something. Maybe then. Mm. I really like Indomitable from Colossus and Magic's box that lets a character ignore a throw or a push, just a way to stop a displacement on your characters and keep them standing on points is really valuable. So yeah. Happy to include that.
I think that seems more valuable in Criminal Syndicate than probably any other affiliation.
Yeah, I agree. I think you could make a small argument that the more expensive your character is, the more you care about them not being displaced, but I think yeah. That's whatever. I think the fact the leadership synergy and the fact you've got these slow-moving four-cost characters like Kingpin, Kingpin is a great choice for Indomitable, and he's in your list every time, so you're always going to be happy with it. Along the lines of Indomitable, you've got other options that do similar things. You've got movement cards like Climbing Gear and Tactical Analysis, which mm-hmm. for criminals is often just being used to keep standing on points. They're both ways to move your character outside of that character's activation. And I find the way that I use them most in criminals is I use them after the character is activated and then someone has pushed my character off a point, I can slide them right back on again. So that's why I think it's similar to Indomitable. And it's another reason why I'm happy to take Bitter Rivals, because if I'm going for a fighter team, I can take Bitter Rivals. And if I'm just worried about scoring secures, I can take Climbing Gear or Tactical Analysis or even both.
Hmm. Yep, that makes sense. I think Climbing Gear in particular is staple to Kingpin.
Yes, I like it there a lot. I don't think you need to take it every time, but yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yep, agreed.
I think you can also make a note of considering advanced R&D. There's some cute things, obviously, that you can do with advanced R&D. I don't think this team makes the best use out of it. But being able to set up Black Cat to steal an extract sooner is pretty good. Being able to set up Lizard to throw sooner is pretty good. But all in all, I think advanced R&D is kind of... it's fine for this roster, but with the characters I've selected, it's probably not making the cut.
Yeah, I mean, my experience with criminals has been that they can often be... They don't have good power economy. And so being able to move that essential one power to turn on a particular play or a particular line of play, I can totally see why that would be attractive. But at the same time, not having a specific plan for R&D might mean that some games it goes, you know, unused and it's not a good use of your slot.
Exactly. So I think you could consider it, but I personally... I'm not high on it with this team. I think all you have to do, though, is maybe change one or two characters to ones that more actively use it, and that would change.
Yep. Okay. What about some character-specific cards? You've got some characters in your roster. You've got some fun cards to play with.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good character-specific cards for this roster, and they're the ones that are really where your damage bonus is coming from. You've got the Grand Illusion on Mysterio. This ability is superb. It's absolutely fantastic. To remind people what it does, in case you're not familiar with Mysterio, it's a four-cost effect, and it means that enemies within three of Mysterio don't count their crits, and their crits don't explode for attack, defense, and dodge rolls. This massively changes the maths on all of their dice rolls for the round. It has a bigger effect than Bitter Rivals, and the size of the effect is the same. It's range 3 from a character, in this case Mysterio. Mysterio is really tough for his threat level. He's one of the toughest 3 threats. And he can just double move into the middle of the table on Gamma or Research Station and plan to use Grand Illusion on round 2 or round 3 of the game and massively swing attrition in your favor.
I like that.
Yeah, this is something that I think criminal players aren't using enough. I think I've heard a lot of criminal players say they don't like Mysterio, and I don't think they realize how strong Grand Illusion is. It's nuts what this card does for you. And it really does impact how good your team is at fighting, because while Grand Illusion is up, you're just going to take very little damage across your whole team, and your whole team is going to put out more. It affects the dodges as well. So throws from Kingpin and that kind of thing also get more dangerous. And the only real way to deal with it is to displace Mysterio. But it's pretty easy to surround Mysterio with models like Kingpin. And of course, to use Indomitable to make that very, very difficult to do.
Okay, any others?
Yeah, I've mentioned already Hood's Gang. Hood's Gang is a pretty good card where you get rerolls on your attack rolls across your whole team. The big downside of Hood's Gang is you have to play it during Hood's activation, which means he has to activate first. But with the exception of your Killmonger Usurp the Throne turn, I found this team doesn't necessarily care that much about their order of activation because the core characters all have roughly equal damage output and are all quite tough. So I found that in that central brawling team, I don't mind necessarily if I'm attacking first with Kingpin, Mysterio, Crossbones, or Hood. So I have a little bit more freedom to find a point in the game where I can use Hood's Gang early and get a lot of benefit out of it. Other cards to consider. Illicit Tech on Crossbones is a similar effect, right? It's an area effect Incinerate. I think this is a bit more corner case, but it's another example of how, look, criminals have a lot of damage multipliers that all affect multiple targets, right? This is the third one. And people are just sleeping on this, right? You can have criminals do damage. They can do really great damage by layering these effects. Then, of course, Usurp the Throne should be considered. Killmonger was hard to fit in at 4 threat, but Usurp the Throne is fantastic, and All According to Plan helps enable it. As does Hood's Gang, as does Grand Illusion. Like, this is a card that can pay you off for all of your other damage effects. And because your team is so good at getting ahead early on victory points, it really can be the nail in the coffin, where you can get a good Usurp around about round 3 of the game, and it can just put things out of reach for your opponent.
Yep.
That's really it. There's a couple of other cards you could consider. MODOK's got 2 cards that are fine. AIM Lackeys in particular is another movement effect, which is pretty welcome. The thing is, though, I think of all your characters, MODOK is the one who I play the least. So if you really love MODOK, I would take something like AIM Lackeys. But personally, I'm cutting it in deference to the other cards I just mentioned.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Okay. So that's a really interesting roster you've presented us with and 2 sort of ways of taking it. So I like that. We've got a few Christmas themed questions, though. So Santa has many elves helping him. Who is your affiliation's unsung hero that you cannot live without and maybe doesn't get enough credit?
Well, it has to be Mysterio, right? After everything I talked about the Grand Illusion. Everyone loves all of the other criminals, but Mysterio, people think of him as a spider foe. I was listening to Danger Room just the other day, and you guys were talking about Dizzard's roster that was spider foes and criminals, and he mentioned how he had Mysterio as a spider foe, but he wouldn't want him as a criminal. No, Mysterio is an incredible criminal. He's really tough. He can displace people. He's got a superb tactics card. He really is underrated. He is my favorite 3-threat criminal, the one that I play the most often.
You hear that, Dizzard? You've been told by Pat. Great. Sorry, okay. What is the gift AMG gave your affiliation this year you're most happy with?
Oh, there's so many. There's so many. Almost every character I named has got added to the game this year, right? Mysterio, Hood, Black Cat, New Bullseye, Juggernaut, Lizard, Enchantress. The criminals really have gone from strength to strength this year. If I could pick one thing, the newest thing, the Christmas present, it has to be Indomitable, right? Yeah, this incredible tactics card that works so well for their game plan.
That was top of my list as well when I was thinking about the answer to that question. Okay, so I think we agree on that. What is on your affiliation Christmas list for the future?
The affiliation Christmas list for the future. So criminals already have a lot of really good stuff. And they've got a really deep roster. I suppose the thing that I would want on the Christmas list, the one thing that some of those other top tier affiliations have that criminals don't, that they look in envy when they open their stockings. It has to be a second leader, right? There's because criminals have great characters. There's already so many crises they're good at. We couldn't even pick just six that they were maybe the best at. There's loads of good cards for them, but they're so focused around Kingpin's leadership. And obviously I gave an example of how you could get away from that, but another leadership would completely change the affiliation.
I wonder if, again, you're right, I can see it changing the affiliation, but it change it to the point of unrecognizability so that you get something a little bit like Red Skull and Sin, where they actually want to take kind of different characters so that you're getting another affiliation, but it's difficult to put them both in the same roster and make it work.
Yeah, definitely could be the case. It might even just feel a lot like the Cabal or Spider-Foes dual rosters that we spoke about a little bit already, right?
Yeah.
You never know with the second leader. Sometimes you get pairs that work really well together, like Mystique and Magneto, where you're happy to play them together. And sometimes you you get pairs that you never want to take the same characters with. So who knows? But I guess the main reason I would pick a leader is just because I think so much of the criminal's identity is tied to that leadership. It would be nice to see them branch out a little bit.
Okay. Well, Pat, thank you for taking the time to give us this thoughts on Criminal Syndicate. If people want to hear more of your content, where can they go to find it?
To Across the Bifrost Nexus, of course. I am one of the hosts of the Across the Bifrost podcast. You can find us at acrossthebifrost.com.
Wonderful. And if they want to find you on Discord, what's your name on Discord?
It's Pat.
Original. I like
that. I think it's actually ATB_Pat for Across the Bifrost.
Yeah, it depends on the server, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful, Pat. Well, thanks very much again, and we'll see you next time on The Danger Room.